Praise Jesus. Hey, it's good to be here with you guys. I know that we're a little bit behind schedule, and it was kind of interesting as I was, my name is Mike, I'm from Calvary Chapel, Susanville, and as I've been preparing for this, several times I've asked the Lord, Lord, it seems like my message is going to go short, and now I know why. God works everything out. I also realized that I came here today for the meat of God's word, and not necessarily for a cheeseburger. And so I think I'll get us caught up a little bit, but we're probably going to go just a tad over from the schedule. But it's God's schedule anyway, right? Yeah. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would guide us this morning. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Help us to be yielded to you in every way. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Guide us, convict us, encourage us, strengthen us. Help us to be your men. Lord, mighty men of valor, be glorified in your sons. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you will, you're probably already there, but open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is obviously the scripture that we're going over, but I want to read it one more time. And if you would, if you're able, would you stand with me in reverence for God's word as we read it together? Plus, it's a great chance to stretch for a moment. So, if you're able, on your feet. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning now at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Gracious Father, we do ask that you would open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear your voice, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. You guys can be seated. Now, I just want to make a couple of initial observations about this passage. I'm going to be covering the middle of there, verse 7, where it says, I've finished my course, or I've finished my race. And there's two things you should know. You cannot finish this race unless you start it. Okay? You got to start somewhere to make a finish. And it was so cool to see these guys come up earlier and the guys that raised their hands after that have begun the race. And now we need to finish that race. And like the Apostle Paul, who finished well, you know, he knew what I want to tell you, and that is that there is no prize for quitting. If you drop out of this race, if you fail, if you just, you know, give up and roll over or whatever, there's no prize for that. You only get the prize if you finish. You know, as Paul writes this letter to his protege Timothy, it's in light of the fact that he's now appeared before Caesar for the second time. Paul has received a death sentence, and that sentence will soon actually be carried out. And Paul writes this letter knowing that it's the last time that he's going to be able to communicate to Timothy, to encourage him, to exhort him, to keep fighting, to keep running, to finish the race, to keep the faith, even unto death, as Paul's about to die. He's not talking about some ethereal thing like, man, you gotta fight to the death, bro. He's about to experience it, and he knows it. It's not some hypothetical thing to him. It's the reality of life and death. And Paul is a man who knows about difficulties and adversities in his Christian walk. He never gave up. He didn't quit. He finished his course. And as Mark and as Pete have pointed out, he went through some stuff. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to begin at verse 23. We've already covered it a couple times, but it's well worth taking a look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. Here Paul says, in labors more abundant. That means that he worked really hard. Anybody, you work so hard that you feel like at the end of the day you could just drop? You know, he worked hard. And it says, in stripes above measure. You know, when he says in stripes above measure, that's beyond his ability to count. He was beaten and whipped more times than he can count. I can count the number of times I was beaten, beat up or whatever, you know. Like two or three times in my whole life that I've really just gotten like thrashed. I remember that. Paul had it happen to him so many times, he couldn't remember how many times he'd been beaten. To me, this is amazing. In prisons, plural. He was in prison more than once. In deaths. The word deaths there in King James is in plural too. How many times did he die and was raised from the dead? I mean, I don't know, but it says oft. Verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. See, he couldn't remember how many times the Gentiles beat him, but he remembered, yeah, the Jews got me five times. Okay, so he's got that part down. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Anybody here ever been beaten with a nightstick? Don't admit to it if you have been, okay? But I'll tell you something, it hurts, all right? And he was five times, you know, it says once I was stoned. Some of you guys are going, well, I was stoned more than that. No, we're talking about with rocks, okay? He was stoned, okay? That's how the Jews killed people. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Anybody here been in an airplane crash? That shipwreck was their version of an airplane crash. I've been in airplanes, thought, well, what if this thing goes down? Man, I'd be like the super evangelist on the way down, screaming my brains out, you know, receive Jesus. But he went through plane wrecks. A night and a day have I been in the deep. You know what that means? He didn't die that time. He went to the bottom of the ocean, and a night and a day, he was aware that he was in the deep, walking through rocks and seaweed and stuff and making his way back to land. He says, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of wilderness, in perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. That's a bummer. I mean, I'd rather deal with feral, you know, perils of the sea and the wilderness, lions and tigers and bears, than with false brethren. I know what you guys, I hate it when people lie to me. I don't like it when you look at somebody and you go, wow, man, bro, you know, and then you find out they ain't your bro. You find out that they're like a wolf in sheep's clothing. You find out they're a charlatan or just a dishonest man. And that's heartbreaking. That's a bummer. And he says he dealt with the same stuff that we dealt with. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings, in cold, in nakedness. I don't know what it is to be, you know, naked. You ever been beaten by somebody, just stripped and left out? I haven't. I mean, I know Jesus hung on the cross. He was naked. He was humiliated. But Paul's saying that he was out in the cold. He didn't have any clothes. He didn't have enough clothes, whatever. And then he says, besides those things that are without, that comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And I've got two questions after reading this. Why did Paul keep going? And how did he do it? I mean, I read that. That's not what I would call a great advertisement for. I want to be a Christian. You know, sign me up. No, how did he do it? And why did he keep going? And the first question I think is easier. The why is easy. Why did he keep going? Because he had seen the prize. He got a glimpse of the finish line. You know, turn, you're almost there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up into the third heaven. There's the sky, then there's the farther in the atmosphere, the stars, then beyond that's the third heaven. That's paradise. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul saw heaven. Paul, what's heaven? That's where Jesus is. Okay? Paul got to see things and he got to hear things, and it says it would be unlawful for me to even speak about it. But he got to see the finish line. Man, knowing what was before him, how could he stop? Knowing what's before us, how can we stop? I mean, do you have any idea what heaven is? If you know, we should know what hell is for sure, because we want to go the other direction. And if we have any idea of heaven, we would say, oh, that poor guy, he went to heaven. No, man, that's the prize. That's the end game. That's what we want. We want to be with our Lord. We want to feel his hands around us, and we want to hear that voice says, well done, good and faithful servant. We want this world to end. We want to be with him. But you got to keep your eyes on the finish line. Why didn't he quit? Because he'd seen the finish line. He kept his eyes on the prize. He kept his eyes on Jesus. The second question was, how did he do it? And the answer is, he didn't. God did it through him. Okay? We read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." I feel like such a zip sometimes. I know that I'm just, you know, a man, and I'm a dork. You know, I, like Paul, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. And I think, I have no hope. And then I go, hold it, I have hope. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is the one that's going to do this. Jesus is the one that's going to carry me. Jesus is the one that's going to sustain me. And I've got to keep my eyes on him. If I look at you guys, I go, man, pathetic. And if I look at me, I get depressed. But if I look at Jesus, everything looks pretty good. You guys look a lot better when I'm looking at Jesus. I look a lot better when I'm looking at Jesus. We got to keep our eyes on him. The prophet tells us in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's a spiritual thing, and the Holy Spirit is going to guide us and empower us and enable us to do that. You've already been enabled to cross the line. You've already been enabled to finish the race. All we got to do is hang on. I remember back in high school, about 100 pounds or so ago, a buddy of mine talked me into joining the cross-country team. And cross-country team, you know, they basically run for 5 or 6, 7 miles a day, and then they have these races that last for a couple of miles. And he told me it'd be fun. I didn't know any better. But anyway, what I watch is guys go through these different races running for 2 miles. Some guys get to the finish line, and they hit it in full stride. Man, they're just like pumping and they're studly and all this kind of stuff, and bam, they hit that line. They look great. And then I'd see other guys, like myself sometimes, they just barely get over the line. I mean, you're huffing and you're puffing and you just about, you know, stagger across the line, and it doesn't look real good. But the bottom line is they both got across the line. Okay? And that's, you know, in this race, in this course, sometimes we don't start off so good. I didn't. It was almost 6, maybe almost 7 years before I even opened my Bible after I became a Christian. And I didn't know any better. I was just ignorant. And then somebody showed me, it's like, wow, it's awesome, you know. But I mean, I didn't start off all that well, and maybe some of you haven't started off all so great. But you know what? It's not how you start. It's how you finish, okay? And we've got to finish. You know, there's times when I was running those races, and I remember, you know, that my legs feel like they like lead, like I couldn't pick them up anymore. I remember thinking that my lungs were going to explode and that I was just going to pass out and look like a total idiot, you know, like 25 feet from the finish line. I was going to be laying there unconscious, you know. And I don't know how some of those times, how I even finished the race. But, you know, you just keep picking them up and you just keep putting them down. You don't think about the end of the race sometimes. You look at the line and you hear the people cheering and you just keep moving. And sometimes we don't know how we do it, but I'll tell you how we do it. We do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We do it by God working in us and through us to help us to make us do it. We have a promise from God. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 3 and 4, here the prophet writes, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." God will always come in at that last moment, and he'll take care of us. Paul exhorts us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Amen. Don't give up. Keep going. We read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." We've got to keep our eyes on him, and we've got to keep pressing forward. And maybe you inch forward just crawling and clawing along, or maybe you're just running full stride. Either way, keep moving. You can't give up. You know, the word that's used here in verse 7, now, you know, "I fought the good fight, I finished my course." The word "finished" there is teleio, and it means to make an end or to accomplish, to complete something, not merely to end it, but to bring it to perfection. And it's the same basic word that Jesus used in John chapter 19, verse 30, when it says, tetelestai, it is finished. Jesus didn't just finish like, oh, you know, I've got 70%. Okay, no, this is talking about, we're not talking about just barely finishing, meeting the minimum requirements or, you know, making 70%, but we're talking about finishing well, as Paul did, and certainly as our Lord did. Paul liked to use analogies like, you know, wrestling and running and, you know, warfare and stuff, and he does that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, when he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. If therefore, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or rejected of God." What Paul is saying here is that men are willing to train, to work, to discipline themselves for a laurel wreath, you know, something that's just going to fade away. You've probably all got trophies in your closet somewhere, you know, from Little League or from high school or something. You know, a plaque that you got at work that's collecting dust, and it's like, who cares? And we'll do all kinds of stuff to get those things. And that's what Paul's saying, that the men will discipline themselves and work hard for something that's temporal, something that's going to fade away. How much harder should we be disciplining ourselves and working towards the goal of Christ Jesus and being with him and doing the things, you know, that are needed? You know, earlier in 2 Timothy, Paul uses the analogy of a soldier. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And no man that warreth entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who's chosen him to be a soldier." Some of us need to untangle our lives. Some of us need to kind of like get rid of some stuff and stop doing certain things and whatever and streamline this thing so that we can fight. You know, the guys that go to Afghanistan and to Iraq and different places where they're fighting and all that, you don't see like a big old colored TV strapped on the back of their pack, you know. And they don't usually have like a Game Boy with them. You know, they're worried about bringing ammo and first aid stuff and food and necessary things. They're not taking the extra junk with them. We need to get rid of some of the extra junk. And, you know, I learned a valuable experience when I was in the police academy many years ago. You know, they ran us hard every day. We trained for all kinds of situations, many of which would at some point become life or death. And as we worked on our tactics and our weaponless defense and different things like that, something that was hammered into us all the time was you never, ever, ever quit. You can't quit. If you quit, they will kill you. You know, as a police officer, you're trained to arrest people, and that means to go get somebody and grab them and put handcuffs on them and take them to jail. But you never see the bad guys taking prisoners. And you know what? There's a bad guy that wants us and wants to kill us. He doesn't take prisoners. He kills people. You know, it's the same spiritually. If we quit, if we lay down, if we roll over, the enemy will kill you. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." When you ever watch those National Geographic things, you know, where the lion's down there in the grass, you know, and just checking out the gazelle out there that just wandered away from the herd? You know, and it's always that interesting, you know, he creeps, and boom, he starts, and boom, kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. And when they finally catch up to that gazelle, "Oh, hi, Mr. Gazelle, how are you doing today? Would you lay down, please? We're not going to have dinner together." That ain't how it goes. When the lion gets a hold of that gazelle, they usually cut to some other scene, okay? Because the lion is going to grab that gazelle by the neck and break its neck and then rip its neck open, and it's going to bleed out, and then it's going to start launching on its shoulders and its hindquarters, and it's going to tear it to shreds, and it's going to consume it, and then all the other lions come in and help it. That's what we are if we give up. We can't give up. You can't do that. And, you know, if we just don't quit, if we keep running, if we keep fighting, the victory is already ours. You know, we're told in James chapter 4, verse 7, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." What does resistance, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be so macho that you get out, you're get away from me, or big battle and stuff. It's not that. It's just saying no. I know that's not enough. No, no. You know, no, no, please don't. No, resist. It doesn't matter. Resist in any way, shape, or form that you can. Don't give up. Say no. Jesus is the prize. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize because the goal is to finish and to be with him. As we run this race to its completion, I would say that we certainly have a role to play, that we are active participants in this process. You know, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we're called, amongst other things, to certainly walk in the Spirit. And what does that look like? You know, I think there's some basic things in the Bible, and I won't go through all that because that's like a whole other like five or six Bible studies. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we get kind of a gist of it, a basic thing. In Acts 2:42, we read, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The teaching of the apostles, that's the word of God. That we spend time in the word of God, whether it's personally, which we should do, or corporately like we're doing now, or in church, or in a study, but that we spend time in God's word. That we spend time, as it says here, in fellowship. That we hang out with other believers. You know, because they're going to put us in check. They're going to hold us accountable. That we, as we learn together, we grow together. You know, there's times we go, oh man, that's awesome, keep going. And there's other times, hey bro, you're going down the wrong track. You know, we need to be in fellowship. And the breaking of bread, we just did that. That is so cool. That we were reminded once again of his death and his resurrection and what that means for us and the sacrifice. And we think about the gospel, what it really means. That we celebrate, if you will, that we do what Jesus said and remember by breaking the bread. And in prayer, that we just spend time talking to God. Now, so far, I've not described, you know, rocket science or thermonuclear physics or anything like that. We're just talking about simple things that we're called to do. We're also called, as Jesus tells us, to abide in him. That means really just to hang with Jesus. And I think that when we're in prayer, that we're in a Bible study, that we're when we're in fellowship, when we're at communion or breaking of bread, then we are with Jesus. We're right there with him. He's right there with us. And so we're called to maintain that relationship. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing, including finishing the race. If Jesus isn't carrying you or running with you or just ahead of you, or not looking at him, you're not going to finish. We can't do it apart from him. And yes, we have a role to play, but I want to tell you, it's a minor role because Jesus is going to do all the heavy lifting. Okay, Jesus is the one who does the real work. He has given us the victory already. What's our role? Believe, trust, have faith. All we've got to do really is hang on. Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. We're not doing anything all that hard, are we? All we are doing is believing and keeping our eyes on him. That's what he's called us to do. And if need be, I believe Jesus will carry you across the finish line. We've got to finish the race, but it's going to be in him. You know, we have the victory already. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're already conquerors. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. To me, that translates again, don't give up, don't quit. God is doing the work. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is the one who will keep us. We have another promise in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thy hand and will keep thee. I love that. I can't help but think about when I was a little kid. And my dad, by the way, left my home when I was 7 years old. He told me, Mike, you're the man now. You've got to take care of your mom and your brother and your sisters. And I thought at 7 years old, I was the man. But I remember before that, I would go to the place and I'd hold my dad's hand. Never once did I worry about where I was going. And I was holding my dad's hand and I just followed along, you know. And I didn't think, Dad, is it safe to go here? Dad, do we have enough, you know, gas to get back or any of the other concerns? As long as I was holding my father's hand, I knew I was cool. And God's telling us, I will hold your hand and I will keep you. That means we're going to hold hands with him as we go across the finish line, because he's going to take us across the finish line. If you want to finish the race, if you want to finish well, then you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Last reference for the before lunch is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing also, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We've got to be looking at Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and before you know it, you'll be across the finish line. You'll blink and go, how did I get here? And you'll look at Jesus and go, oh, that's how I got here. And you know, you may hit the finish line at full stride, or you may get there breathless and collapse across the line. But either way, when you get there, you're going to be caught up in Jesus' loving arms. He's the one that's going to greet you. You'll hear him whisper in your ear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Oh, man, that's what I want to hear. So what I want to tell you is run hard, finish the race, keep the faith. God bless you guys.